power of a man. I'll take a man who's a husband or a father. I do that because there's a significant mantle of leadership entrusted to men in God's word, in the care and the gentleness and the love, but the strength of leadership over wives and children for a man to stand and in the dependence of the Holy Spirit to declare, holding hands with family, speaking over family, and says, Holy Spirit, we are desperate for you. I'd like the chances of that man.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. My name is Craig Turnbull, and I get the privilege of hosting this radio program that features the teaching of my pastor, Ravi Simons. You joined us here today at Live in the Light in the middle of a powerful series looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Today's teaching takes us to John chapter 14 and some of Jesus' last words to his disciples before the cross. Last words, yes, but they certainly are powerful ones also. And as impactful as they were for the disciples, we pray that God stirs in your heart with the same truths today and exposes to the greatness, the glory of God and the Holy Spirit, our helper. So let's get into God's word together and go to John chapter 14. And here's Pastor Ravi with today's message entitled, The Holy Spirit, My Helper.
So ESV has helper. NIV translates paraclete, counselor. New Living translates it advocate. King James Version translates paraclete as comforter. How many grew up with Holy Spirit as comforter? How many? Comforter, comforter. A whole bunch of you did. Interestingly, let's say the Holy Spirit's comforter. Is that true? Yes, it is. Now, comfort in Old English, when you do the etymology of comfort, think of it. Calm, prefix, with. Fort is strength, forte. That's not my forte. Comfort, literally, and when it first came out, was with strength. Over time, the English changed its meaning to what we know now today. Comfort means to provide solace, to console someone. So over time, comforter, Holy Spirit, was not the right word to describe paraclete. So now the ESV has a good word now, helper. Helpers, good. Counselors, good. Advocates, good. Comforters, good. But not one word describes the whole thing of the Holy Spirit as what he is for our lives. Now notice, God's word didn't change. The English language changed. So the English language is adapting to try to keep defining properly the original meaning of the Greek word paraclete. But I think what we learn from comforter in the Old English is so fantastic. When you think of the Holy Spirit as helper, fundamentally, he helps us by strengthening us. Now, he strengthens us with wisdom. He strengthens us in our difficulty. He strengthens us with God's word. He strengthens us by teaching us. He strengthens us by guiding us. But he strengthens us as our helper. The Holy Spirit is my helper. The one who comes alongside. And just picture that. The best friends we have, when we need them most, they're not way ahead of us. They're not way behind us. They come right alongside of us. And often they put their arms right around us to let us know they are so here and for us and there to hold us up when we need them to. That's an imperfect, but in some ways accurate picture of the Holy Spirit as helper in every area of our lives. You cannot live this life apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. This is why we must depend on him and be desperate for him. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, he was, of course, a very powerful preacher. At the end of his ministry, he actually preached in a church in Toronto. And he did that for 10 or 15 years. And I got some recordings from this church, and you can probably find them online even now if you wanted to. But I listened to one of his sermons on the Holy Spirit a couple of years ago, and with his kind of, he had like a prophetic kind of wavering voice as he was aging, but it was just piercing and he cut right to it. He preached in the fear of God. He was not concerned about the fear of man at all. And he did have that laser that went out and got right to the issue. He was teaching on the Holy Spirit and he started saying stuff like this. He says, the church is replacing the power of the Holy Spirit with social time. He says the church, he warned the church of relying on man-made substitutes as opposed to the true, pure power of God. He preached in 1960, he said, programs are gaining more attention than Jesus Christ in some churches. He said this, if the Holy Spirit is not the center attraction, then Jesus Christ is not at the center as Lord, and you will fall into the trap of tricking people into coming to church by luring them with human methods. Now, how prophetic was that in light of the last 25 years of the church? And he said this in 1960. Then he said this, and they'll put it on the screen for you. I want you to see this. Then he said this. The greatest tragedy is that the Holy Spirit will not go where he is not invited. Just let that sink in. Your home, your family, your workplace, your neighborhood, your church, your life. The Holy Spirit will not go where he's not invited, and many churches are seeking to operate completely apart from the only one who can truly strengthen them. Remember, the reason the Holy Spirit is given is to strengthen us for the battle called the Christian life. If you neglect or ignore your source of strength, you neglect and ignore any real chance of victory as believers in Jesus Christ. Loved ones, that's why this series is so important. I'm telling you, the power of a man, I'll take a man who's a husband or a father. I do that because there's a significant mantle of leadership entrusted to men in God's word, in the care and the gentleness and the love, but the strength of leadership over wives and children, for a man to stand and in the dependence of the Holy Spirit to declare, holding hands with family, speaking over family, and says, Holy Spirit, we are desperate for you. I like the chances of that man. I like the chances of what's going to be seen in that family as there's a genuine, intentional desire to say openly, I can't do this. Holy Spirit of God, fill my life, fill my marriage, fill my home, fill my leadership. Holy Spirit of God, would you fill me so that I know it's your strength and your power and the glory of Jesus Christ that will be seen as I become less, but you become more. You give me men who will lead in that leadership and in that humility, and you let me see how loved their wives feel, how blessed their children seem to be, because they are men operating in the power and the strength of the one who can do all things. That is what is needed. Oh, if that could be seen in our day. The simplicity of depending as opposed to the stubborn pursuit and resolve of independent living that will only end up in fleshly thinking and fruitfulness. But the one who depends. About a month ago, my wife and I struggling with one of our children who will remain unnamed again. But you know, we were frustrated and honestly stressed a bit and saying, what's happening right now? And I felt the Lord saying to me, it's not a voice, it's the led by the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit saying, Robbie, have you prayed with your wife about this? Specifically about this situation right now? You should go do that. Right now, Lord, right now. Walk downstairs, explain what I believe is the right thing to do to my wife, Jill. I remember leaning on the kitchen counter and beginning to pray for our one particular child. And you know what happened to me? The moment I began to pray, I instantly felt the supporting presence and power and glory of the Holy Spirit to the point that tears were running down my cheeks, filled with faith in the moment of depending upon the one who can create and make change, fully recognizing I cannot. I get up from that time of prayer with my wife, and I said to her something like, I'm so dumb. Why does it take me so long sometimes to do what I know is so right? Now, every day I fail, but every day the Lord calls me back to trust in Him, to pray to Him, to depend on Him. How many elder meetings have we been in this church over the course of almost 13 years now, where the same acknowledgement and you're praying and the Holy Spirit floods the room? How many prayer meetings over the course of this church's life and history have we gathered together with tears filling our eyes and calling out for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and His presence fills the room and fills our lives with faith to again persevere for another day? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is my helper. But He needs to be acknowledged and told of how much we need His help. You know, some of us, we hear some of what I'm saying, and you will resonate with my failure. And you might call yourself a lousy leader. You might call yourself a lousy follower. You say, I'm a failure. Listen, one of the biggest turning points of this is the reason you and I are failing is because we're trying too hard. Here's a good phrase. Stop trying, start relying. Stop trying, men and women, and start, hey, parents, you're so concerned about the kids. When have you really interceded for them together? You're so worried about the future. Stop trying, start relying. I mean, it's not that complicated. We know the stats of the actual prayer-filled lives of the church. We know the levels of dependence that actually happen or don't happen when it comes to the Holy Spirit. When your theology is right, man, the prayers start to be lit up. When the theology is right, you stop trying to do so much and you start relying on the only one who can really create fruit within our lives. Look at verse 16, John 14. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Notice that the Holy Spirit's never withdrawn, ever, which means He's available at this very second right now for all those who are saved in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Number two, the Holy Spirit is my Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, Jesus says, even the Spirit of truth, love it, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, Jesus says. You know what happens here? John here places the first title that we have attributed to the Holy Spirit, first official title, and He's the Spirit of truth. Isn't it so interesting that in John's gospel, what becomes very clear and very fast, Jesus Christ is the definition of truth. This is climaxed in John's gospel when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the truth. So the one who is to replace Jesus Christ must be 100% an agent of truth. Enter the Holy Spirit. Enter the Spirit of truth. I want to do a little biblical theology now, the Spirit of truth, just in the upper room discourse. So just in John chapters 14 through 16 in this case, okay? Let's learn how much the Holy Spirit loves truth. Here's what we learn from the Gospel of John on the Spirit of truth. Number one, the Holy Spirit, He is the teacher. He is the teacher of truth. Look at John 14, verse 26. That says 25. It should say 26. Look at John 14, verse 26. Jesus says this, okay? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who filled and empowered the apostles to teach the truth of Christ. Think about it too. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to have the Word of God at all. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit who now illumines the Word of God to us. The Holy Spirit, loved ones, He loves the truth. He's the teacher of truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth. Look at John 15 now, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. Jesus says this, "But the Helper," or when the Helper comes, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me." Notice how much the Holy Spirit loves to point to Jesus, to speak of Jesus, who of course is the truth. So notice this and please listen. Wherever the Holy Spirit is truly at work, Jesus Christ is at the center. Okay? He is sent as the Spirit of truth, Jesus says, to bear witness about Me. If you come across a movement in Christendom where man is getting the most attention, that's a strong indicator the Holy Spirit's not in it. When man is elevated as the one receiving the glory and the praise, and Jesus Christ seems to be kind of off to the side, that's a very, very good indicator that the Lord's not in that. Because it can never be about a man. It has to be about, well, the man, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit shining the light upon the Lord Jesus Christ as well. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth, bears witness about Jesus Christ. So here we go again. Then the Holy Spirit is, as we learned 2 weeks ago, the Christological floodlight. Here's a diagram of this, or here's a picture, okay? The Christological floodlight. The Holy Spirit seeks to shine light upon Jesus. That's His role. That's what He wants to do. He bears witness. He shines upon Jesus Christ. We love Him. We adore Him. We revere Him. He shines the light upon you. He's sent to bear witness about Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit convicts with truth. Turn to John 16. John 16, verse 7. Make sure I don't do the work for you, okay? Let's work together. John 16, verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Awesome. "It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." Now, why is that true? Because if Jesus stays on earth, Jesus in His human form is only at one place at one time. Jesus goes, ascends, He sends His Holy Spirit. Now what happens? The Holy Spirit lives in every single person born again in Jesus Christ. This is why He says, "If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go away, I will send Him to you." Verse 8, "And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." One of the foremost roles of the Holy Spirit in our world. Notice, not convicting believers here, convicting the world. He is sent as the Spirit of truth to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, bringing people to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, the Holy Spirit, He guides into all truth. John 16, verse 13. Verse 13 now. Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth," here it is again, "comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak on His own authority. He will speak on Mine. He will declare to you the things that are to come." Verse 14, "He will glorify Me." So notice in verse 13, the Spirit of truth guides them into truth. Loved ones, the Holy Spirit loves truth. He loves truth. This is why, men, how excited do you think the Holy Spirit gets when we open God's truth together as a church? Probably like a kid at Christmas, you know? He's just so fired up. Imagine the church that closes God's word and talks about the things of man, how sad he is. Think about how excited the Holy Spirit gets when you wake up each morning and you open God's word and seek Him and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pretty excited, man. He's rubbing his hands. He can't wait. He's anticipating this. That's so awesome. This is why Warren Wiersbe said this. He says, "The Spirit of truth uses the word of truth to guide us into the will and work of God." The Spirit of truth uses the word of truth to guide us into the will of God and the work of God. What I want you to see here, okay? The Holy Spirit is my Spirit of truth. Notice how inseparable the Holy Spirit of God is from the Word of God. They're inseparable. You find the one, you find the other. The Spirit of truth, like even in this message right now, we are in the Word of God, learning about the Spirit of God that is pointing us back to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is ultimately Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the Bible wants to highlight Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to highlight Jesus Christ. But we're in God's Word, by God's Spirit, back to God's Word to love Jesus Christ. Awesome. The Holy Spirit loves the truth. If you are led by God's Spirit, you will also love the truth. If Holy Spirit is leading you and filling you, He will be leading you to the truth, to the Word, which leads to the Word of God, John 1, Jesus Christ. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are inseparable. It's beautiful. The Holy Spirit is my helper. The Holy Spirit is my Spirit of truth. Thirdly and lastly, the Holy Spirit, He is my closest companion. If you turn back to John 14, verse 17, notice the end of verse 17. Jesus says to His disciples in the upper room just before He dies, He says, "You know Him," the Holy Spirit, "for He dwells with you and will be in you." Notice three things about the Holy Spirit relating to those saved in Jesus Christ in verse 17 at the end. Notice, the Holy Spirit, you know Him. You will have the Holy Spirit with you, and the Holy Spirit will be in you. Now tell me, is there any greater intimacy, any greater friend, any greater companion as this? No human relationship comes close. No human relationship can even come close to someone you know who is with you at all times forever and actually dwells in you. This is the Holy Spirit in the life of those saved in Jesus Christ, okay? Now, I'm thankful for all the strong marriages in this room right now. If you have a strong marriage, grace of God, praise the Lord. But just remember, the only reason your marriage is strong is because the Holy Spirit has made it so. You don't have a loving relationship apart from the Spirit of God in you, at least for the glory of Jesus Christ. He gets the credit. Notice, here's some theology of the Holy Spirit, who He is in our lives as our closest companion. He is my helper. We know that now. He is my power. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He is my prayer partner. Did you know that? Romans 8. He prays for us. He helps us to intercede with groans that words cannot express. He aids us in prayer. He is my assurance, meaning I know I'm adopted as the Son of God because the Holy Spirit assures me of that. That's a pretty close companion. He's my guarantee of my redemption, Ephesians 1. He has sealed me through His Spirit, guaranteeing that I will be redeemed. That's a pretty good friend. He is my proof of belonging to Jesus Christ. This will be up on the website for you this week if you want to get it and use it as a quiet time this week. Awesome, do it. You can look up all the verses and make sure that I'm not making this stuff up, okay? He is my life. The Holy Spirit is my life. Actually, Pastor Greg read that in his offering prayer tonight, which is awesome. Next slide. He is my wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2. He is my freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He is my sanctifier, 2 Corinthians 3:18. One degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Yes. He is my peace. He is my joy. Now, this is really important, okay? The Holy Spirit's, man, you need to think about this. Our joy is not found outside of us. We are always trying to find our joy outside of us. You will never find joy outside of you. That's why the persecuted Christian locked in a prison cell in the worst state ever known to man is overwhelmed and overcome by a supernatural joy that almost brings it to heaven himself. How is that possible? Because true joy is found inside of us, meaning the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Don't seek joy outside. It will never work. Every week, I'm so disappointed by the joy I think I'm going to get by what the world offers. And every time, I'm like, oh. But when the Holy Spirit fills us, He's our loved ones. All the joy you've ever wanted and need, if you're saved in Jesus Christ, lives within you. You seek Him, you love Him, you submit to Him, and you will find joy in Him. He is my hope. Romans 15, he is my fellowship. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He's my closest companion, amen? Again, no offense to your BFF, new BFF right now, okay? New best friend, man. New closest companion is the Holy Spirit of God. So let's end here right now, okay? Let's end here. Consider this. All this is true because of him. We cannot live this life apart from him. We've been very spiritual in this message. Let's just end quickly with being very practical, okay? Let's get very practical. What do I do from here? First thing you do from here is this. Recognize the Holy Spirit in your life. Francis Chan wrote a book, The Forgotten God, about the Holy Spirit. He highlighted something that's true upon the church today. It's almost like we've forgotten that there is three persons, not just two. Recognize him. Invite him. Talk to him. Ask him. Worship him. Love him. Expect him. Recognize him in your life. I know across this room right now, there's a whole section of us that have never done this. We don't live our lives with an expectation and an acknowledgement that there is a Holy Spirit being the person. Start recognize him. Secondly, rely on him. Beg God for his presence, his leading, his teaching, his wisdom. Thirdly, revere him. Is it right to worship the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this. Is it right to worship God? Well, the Holy Spirit's God. There's your answer. Yes, it is right and good to revere and worship one God in three persons. Now, the Holy Spirit uses us and to shine the light on Jesus Christ, but it's so good to worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit for his glory. This week, man, put this into action. Lastly, and this, get ready for him. Get ready for him to show up. So this past week, I've been thinking about him a lot, understandably. And I'm in this meeting with pastors and stuff, and I'm coming in. I'm coming in with Acts 9:31 and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church multiplied. And I start to pray and just believing this. And the Spirit of God comes in. And the Spirit of God empowers the prayer. And all of a sudden, it's not you, it's him. I can't control where the wind blows. I can't base my life on a feeling. But I can try to be as faithful as I can to what he's asked me to do by his strength and for his glory. And I am promised that he will be there for me every moment of my life. And you are promised the same. Loved ones, if we as a church start to live in the presence and the power in the person of the Holy Spirit, things are changing. Things are changing. Lives are changing. Marriages are changing. Homes are changing. Friends are changing. Work is changing. Church is changing. It's changing. If we live in him and for him and by him, guaranteed things are changing. We gotta want it. We gotta want him.
Live in the Light is a radio ministry dependent on the support of our listeners. We recognize that your first gifts should be to your local church, but if you feel led to give above and beyond your regular giving, we ask you to prayerfully consider Live in the Light. You can donate to Live in the Light online at liveinthelight.ca or by calling us at 844-225-4448. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next time at Live in the Light.
Oh, yeah. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.